I cut the line.
Who did?
Me. Like, oh. There was this huge line of people waiting to walk in. You know, Black people have waited at the back of the line for too long,
say
y'all.
Say it. Say
sometimes,
it.
You know, she said this it. Is, like, the worst situation.
People have that fucking stereotype about influencers that's like, oh, you're telling my children what to eat. You're telling my friends what to eat. Here's an example of a human being and what I'm doing.
How appropriate is it for me to reclaim that word of hate, like the word dyke, because that's been used against lesbians and it's been used against me. Literally,
it was getting harder and harder to make these commitments with a volunteer project. And that being said, I want to say that, like, not to shit on anybody who's ever had to reschedule with me or anything, that's not what this is, but I want, but I do want to disclaim that if you, oh, the 30 club is where it's at, y'all.
I'm almost there, you guys. My birthday's in January. I'm gonna be 30.
Our little baby Joey. Such a sweet baby.
Well, well, well. A sad day is upon us. But we will try to stay as upbeat as possible through this podcast finale. That's right, not just a season finale, but a podcast finale. We're bringing you to the end of the Vegan Chub Club road, but that doesn't mean that the community or the conversation ends here, my chubby vegan friends. Join myself, Joelle, and Eden as we recap our favorite episodes, discuss why we're ending the podcast now, and also, what's next? So settle in for a long farewell episode while we share our gratitude with each other and you, our listener community. As always, you can follow the podcast at Vegan Chub Club on Twitter, at The Vegan Chub Club on Facebook and Instagram, and feel free to follow our individual accounts as well. You can find us on Instagram at Joelian, at Eden Loves Life, or at Uprooted Foodie. All of the info on where to find us beyond the Vegan Chub Club podcast will be linked in the description below this podcast episode. We've loved having you with us along the way, and we can't wait to see what's next for you all. We can't wait to watch you make way for others like yourselves, for people like you to continue the movement and carry the torch. So without any further ado, here is the final episode of the Vegan Chub Club podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of the Vegan Chub Club podcast. I'm your host, Miranda. I've been here since the beginning of season 4 and the beginning of 2020. And today I have with us the original founders of the Vegan Chub Club, Joelle and Eden.
Hey, everybody, it's Joelle.
Hey, everyone, it's Eden. That felt so final in tear jerking when I finally heard it said out loud.
It's definitely odd.
I know. We started
feels
this
weird
with a little more energy, and then it immediately, once it started, I was like, oh boy, I feel the weight of this. So we'll try to keep it, you know, peppy in places where we can. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of emotion, I feel like. I mean, what do you guys feel like seeing your baby take a different journey and then, you know, ultimately being here for the end of it?
You can go first, Eden.
First of all, I'm just really happy that all three of us could be here together. I think there's no better way to send off the podcast than with the trifecta. And earlier, I just had it stuck in my head, that Vitamin C song that they used to play at graduations. And I'm glad that we're all old enough to know
as
that song. And, like, that was literally what I was thinking earlier, like, Vitamin C.
No, I feel like, you know, babies have to grow up. So maybe that's just what's going on. I mean, honestly, how I feel is, like, you know, I left the podcast, like, over a year ago now. So I've, like, watched from afar, talk to you guys, and like been a member of the Vegan Chub Club. So it feels kind of it's weird because I feel like I've kind of like already been gone, and then I came back, obviously, and we did some guest episodes and that was really fun. But like, I feel sad in that we definitely did build a cool thing, and we have people who like to listen. And Miranda, like when you took over, you really brought on a lot of different voices. And I feel like I'm sad that the community will be, it's not going to be gone. That's the thing. Like, I guess I'm sad that, like, the space will still be there, but it's just, it's an end of an era is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's a new chapter. You know, I feel like life is kind of like a TV show or like a TV channel, you know? And like, I think that I'm old and people don't even know what TV is anymore. But like, like, I kind of feel like there are different like shows and they go on for like multiple seasons and then maybe they stop and then there's like a spinoff, or maybe they completely stop altogether. Like, it has to stop at some point. So I don't know. I'm just rambling. Just so you guys know, we didn't plan anything. So this is all just like totally authentic in the Vegan Chub Club style.
No, it's good. It's the, yeah, like you're saying, the original style of it. And like, I like that a lot of episodes, a lot more than I planned, like in season 5, maybe season 4 too, kind of went that route. It just, you know, feels more natural sometimes, and I know people like to listen to that more conversational style. I like that it's taken some casual tones for a few episodes, because that's how it started. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I'm feeling a little sad.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling sad too, and I think offline I went back and forth, especially with Joelle, a lot about, I was pretty set on finding someone to pick up where Miranda left off, but Joelle just gave me like a lot of peace in the fact that if it were causing like stress or like that everything runs its course, that it wasn't necessary for us to find someone else, and maybe we had like done and shared and formed enough, and possibly the lapse in the Vegan Chub Club would leave space for a new set of chubby vegan voices to kind of take over, and maybe they would grow beyond a point that we ever could. So just leaving that space, like when someone looks up the plus size vegan hashtag and sees that, oh, this used to be a podcast, they're not creating anymore, maybe I can grow something fantastic, versus them looking, seeing that our podcast is still running and thinking, oh, someone's already doing this. Maybe just having that space there could really be an opportunity for someone else. And we did a lot of great things. Miranda interviewed so many amazing people. Joey and I spilled out a lot of our hearts in the first couple of seasons. And also finally having male voices on the Vegan Chub Club with Andy being here. I was so excited to see that Miranda pulled that off somehow, like amazing. So yeah, I feel sad, but also like a lot of peace and like pride in what we did.
Totally. Yeah. And I'm glad to hear that our conversations gave you some peace, because I really struggle with like letting go. And especially when it's something, it's not like this is something that's like homework or something that we're being forced to do. It's something that, like you said, Miranda, like we built, as far as like the podcast goes. And it's hard to let go of things like that. But if it comes to a point, like, I think this is kind of what I was sharing with Eden, like if it comes to a point where like you can't do it anymore for whatever reason, it's no longer serving you and no one else is like stepping up, you have to just like let it go and trust that like something else is going to fill that place or be even better. And yeah, like you said, I think that's a great point. Like there are a lot of other voices in the vegan plus size community that aren't just with the Chub Club. And I think that and it's grown so much since we started. Like, do you remember, Eden, in the beginning, before Lizzo was even vegan, we'd be like, our dream is to have Lizzo on here. And now she's like, first of all, now she's blown up since we even talked about that. She got super famous and now she's like vegan and posting about it. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like the community has grown so much and the representation for bigger vegans has changed so much. And this is a tangent that I don't even remember what I was saying, but basically I'm just excited to see like you know, what happens within this community, even though we're like stepping back, I think that that's a good thing, especially because like I would just talk forever and ever. Like, you know, part of the reason why I felt like we needed like people to be interviewed and stuff is because like me and Eden were basically just like on a phone call with each other every week, which is like cool, and I understand that people like to listen to that, but for me I was like, okay, like you know, what am I doing? And I feel like we would like say the same topics over and over again, but
yeah,
anyway.
And
yeah,
I don't want it to come off like we don't care anymore, like we don't have time for this. That's not it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm obviously not even vegan, and I was like very, very set on finding someone else. Like, this has to go on. But I think it's just everyone has to realize the Vegan Chub Club isn't profitable, and it's 100% a passion project, and we all had a huge passion for it. But the amount of time commitment, it's a lot of work. It can be almost like a 20 hour a week job editing and doing social media. So I guess what I'm trying to nail in here, not that it's like, oh, we're not making money, we're not doing it, it's like the fact that we were doing it for so long and not making money shows how much we do care and how much we did care. It's like, it's just because 100% we are passionate and loved you guys and wanted to connect and find a place for you in the vegan movement where people weren't talking down about your bodies or telling you that if you kept at it, you would lose weight. And all this stupid shit that people say to vegan women that are curvy, that we were just sick and tired of. Like, we needed a place where you were just safe to be who you are, be yourself, and not have like the fat phobia that is rampant within veganism be the primary thing that you saw on a day-to-day basis. So I just wanted to make sure it wasn't coming off like, oh, we just don't have time. Like, no, we care an immense amount. But I feel like I'm going in a circle now. Everything does just run its course.
No. Yeah, it does. And maybe we can backpedal for a second and just kind of formally talk about why it is ending. And I guess I'll start with myself, because we all knew when you all came out with your episode of Joelle leaving at the end of 2019, that was a big deal. You all talked about it, and then we went into 2020, and then I came in, and then Eden left, and then it was just on a different course, and it just set sail. And so I guess from my perspective, I felt excited and ready to take on a new project. However, I also started to get that sense of like why it was so overwhelming, not just for you all, but for anybody who does a passion project. I mean, I also do other passion projects, and so then to do another one, it was like I couldn't put them all into one category where it was like, okay, I'm going to work a freelance or a part-time job and I'm going to do these passion projects. It was like, oh, I have to do this project first, and that's going to take the most amount of time, and then I'm going to work on this, but I want this to maybe take more time and get better. And that's what I tried to do with the Vegan Chub Club podcast, was bump it up on my priority list, because it had such a like a glowing just spot in the vegan community that was up and coming, that I felt like had just such a wonderful, like, patient, caring, nurturing, and supportive following an audience and listenership, that I was like, oh my gosh, I have to nurture this, and I really want it to do well. And so season four, I focused a lot on guests. I focused a lot on, okay, I need some help here. What can help offset the work I need to do? Well, you know, letting someone else answer a lot of questions that people have, as some, maybe some experts. So I brought in a lot of those people. And then for season five, it was kind of, well, before season five even actually happened, it was, wow, I'm overwhelmed, I'm a little burned out. I was doing so many graphics. I was trying to keep up kind of with what you guys had done, as far as, you know, getting the aesthetic right. And that's not my forte. And I'm not a photographer, and I didn't hire a photographer for any reason. And you guys had all this in your own portfolio. And of course I was able to use it if I wanted to, but then I think that kind of like got overwhelming in itself. So I took a break and I came back fresh for season 5. And I was like, we can have some more casual vibes. We can have some other guests that aren't just experts in their field, and we can have, you know, not as many graphics. We can just kind of keep it simple, keep it minimal, and just get the content cranked out more, because that's what I was worried about not happening, was me burning out from all these other things and not getting the main part focused on. Because I also do the editing myself, and I know sometimes you guys did, right? But it was your boyfriend who did a lot of it too, Eden, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We paid him to do
That's
it.
That's nice.
He's an audio engineer by trade. So, of course, cool. I got the girlfriend discount, and he probably spent all that money back in dinners. But but I did most of the editing, and I also had my own podcast. So I kind of split it. He would do Vegan Chub Club, and I'd do my own, because there's just no way to do both.
Plus YouTube.
Mm, yeah, I like edit my own YouTube videos. I have like a part-time assistant that helps with some of the emails that come in, and just like sometimes with little things like getting the links for my description boxes, like things that are just take. For you guys that don't know, we all work full-time. There have been very short periods of time where I'll do YouTube full-time, but I typically end up going back to work. Just why? Because insurance is incredibly expensive in America. So it's honestly worth working to get the discount on paying insurance through your employer rather than getting it through Marketplace. So all of us work full-time on top of recording, editing, making posts for our personal social medias and the Vegan Chub Club. And it's just a lot of work. A lot of work.
It is.
Yeah, and I'll like tag on to that too. Like, you know, this is obviously something that's so important to each and every one of us. But there's also a point where like with quarantine, like I'm literally more busy than I ever have been, because I have something going on like every single day. After I work for 8 hours, I have something scheduled and planned, like recurring things every single day, just like meetings and study groups, and I'm doing all sorts of readings and like writing and journaling, and like there's so much going on for other causes, like that it's a lot to do. And I think that's something that like maybe I don't post about a lot, or like even just in general, it's like that cliche of like you have no idea what somebody's going through. Like there's a lot that goes on beyond even social media. And also social media is a lot of work. Like that's what I do full time. I do social media, and like it is a lot. I have a team of like 10 people, and each and every one of us is overwhelmed every single day because we have so much work. And there's like all of us like just for one, you know, a couple different platforms, but like it's insane. So it's a lot of work, and I don't mean to be like complaining, but it's also one of those things where like I think people can relate to this, like when your plate is so full and you're trying to do everything, especially with like compassionate people like us, honestly, who like care about things going on in the world, like, and you try to do everything and you want to like lend your voice to, you know, animals or whatever it is, and you want to like do everything good, but there's a point where it's like there's not enough time in the day for you to save the world every single day. Like you need to like have your own time as well. And not to say that it's not like, obviously that's the thing. That's where like the lines are blurred with social media, in my opinion, because it's like fun, cool. Wow. You get to do this. Like, wow. You get to make videos like for a living, but it's like, no, it's actually a lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Know. I'll take over from there and say the same thing. Just that, I mean, cause I do part-time work and then I do freelance work. So it equals full-time work, but I can't even put my paid freelance work at the top of my list because I feel like I have all these deadlines with these other projects. And so I guess that's part of that stress and that holding up the end of the bargain, even if it's a passion project like the Vegan Chub Club. I just feel like there's so much that comes out of it for so many people. And I just didn't want to let anybody down, you know? And I think, like you're saying, Joelle, with social media burnout, especially when it's your job, and then, oh, what do we do for fun? I guess get on social media, but then it burns you out further. It's just this whole black hole, toxic circle of just like going back to the same thing that is not good for you usually. But, you know, all of that being said, I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess it's pretty obvious that we're hitting it pretty hard, that we're saying that it's just a very time-consuming project, and it's overwhelming, and it has been overwhelming for each one of us for all these different reasons on top of our regular lives. And I do think that's really relatable to so many people listening, because I just think everybody has something that they're trying to work toward and they can never catch up. You feel like you're never able to get on top of it or push enough content out. And I guess that's my reason ultimately, is that I have other projects that I was like, well, I'm never going to grow these things if I don't prioritize my time for them. And it did get easier. It did get a little more rhythmic with like, okay, I can record on this day and I can do this and I can do that. And then I'll get this out there and it'll be fine. But the social media part has been lagging. And then on top of that, I don't know if it was the way I was trying to communicate with other people for guests, but we just had a lot of, and it could just be COVID, but we had a lot of schedules just like slip through the cracks, and like I just ended up losing touch with a lot of people I wanted to have on the podcast, and that was partially maybe my fault, or it could have just been someone else's schedule, or it could have just been this whole whirlwind of everything going on in the world. But it was getting harder and harder to make these commitments with a volunteer project. And that being said, I want to say that, like, not to shit on anybody who's ever had to reschedule with me or anything, that's not what this is, but I do want to disclaim that if you make a commitment to a volunteer project, it's almost more integral that you keep that appointment than if it were a paid project, because your integrity says so much if you can keep those commitments to something. And when you don't, then it's not money that's at the loss, but it's someone's time. And right now that's precious to me. And that's also why I have to step back. I have to get some time for me back.
Yeah. At the risk of sounding callous, if that's the right word, I also do want to say, you know, we just spent like, I don't know, 20 minutes like talking about why we are leaving, but we don't even need to do that. Like, as I know that's going to sound really mean, but maybe for the people listening, take it as a lesson that, like, we, you know, I think all of us like want to let you guys know a little bit about like what happened, because obviously if I was listening to a podcast and suddenly like they're not there anymore, I'd be like, oh, I kind of wonder what happened. But like, we don't need to like and I'm saying this out loud, like more to myself, like I'm an over explainer. Like if I miss an appointment or I'm sick or something, I'm constantly like, oh my God, well, I was like throwing up and I was like having diarrhea at the same time. And then my head was hurting. Like I just over explain and overshare because I feel like, I don't know, that people won't believe me or something. But any reason, like if we just came on here and we're like, sorry guys, it's over. Like, you know, that's fine too. So I just hope that people listening got something out of this, like this entire experience, because we definitely did, which I'm excited to, like, I think we should get into like some happy stuff, like memories and stuff. That'd be fun. But because I feel like we're just like, yeah,
well, and it's cool to know the behind the scenes stuff too.
Behind the scenes, oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's just important to know that there was a lot, you know, a lot given into this project, which I think we've hammered on again, but there's also a lot that we've taken away from it. I personally have learned so much more about the vegan community, the good and the bad aspects of it, in regards to being a plus size or chubby or fat vegan. And I just kind of, I said this on another podcast, by the way, I'm going to be on a podcast called Redefining Health and Wellness that drops in January. So check that out for more things like the Vegan Chub Club. It's not vegan centric, but it is anti-diet culture. So that's a cool concept.
Very cool.
And I talk on there about how I never really felt like I knew much about like the hatred that vegans got in the fat community, or in the vegan community, I mean, until I found you guys and the Vegan Chub Club podcast. Because growing up in the Midwest, for me, it was very, what's vegan? And, oh, like, they didn't even know it was technically a diet, so they didn't expect me to be skinnier, so it wasn't, like, a thing. And then traveling around, and, like, Joelle, you're from SoCal, and Eden, you know, Colorado and Texas, like, you ran into those concepts more in those bigger cities than I ever did. Mm-hmm. So it was eye-opening to hear that on the podcast. And then when I got, you know, into the throes of hosting, I was like, oh shit, I know nothing, because I haven't had as many experiences. And that's partially why I was like, let's bring on some people. And so for me, the takeaway was, like, I just learned a shit ton about, more about anti-diet culture, but, like, a lot about, we need to be more inclusive in the vegan community.
Yeah, for sure. Especially LA, man. LA is a hard place to be a fat vegan.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Or just online, being on YouTube, online. Being on Instagram. Back in the day when I was on Vine, man, it's rough.
I mean, I think that's where, like, the need for the podcast came. I remember, who was it, Joelle, that reposted us as, like, an up-and-coming podcast or something, and all of the comments just like, why are you reposting them? They're clearly not healthy. I don't care if they're vegan, but they're not healthy. It was like vegan outreach, mm-hmm. maybe?
It was like, I think it was vegan outreach, yeah.
And they had reposted us, and all of the comments were just literally tearing us apart about how we're not healthy, and that's not something veganism mm-hmm. needs to support. And it was just
ew,
yeah,
insane, like, so insane.
Which, like, and to go on a mini tangent, that is, like, the entire purpose of this podcast, but, like, being vegan is not a diet. Like, to me, it's never ever been about health, ever. Like, you know, and that's why it's so annoying to me, because I'm like, I'm the kind of person who's like, yes, like, break the monkeys out of the labs. Like, let's go to SeaWorld and get the whales out of there. Let's go shut down all these fur farms. And none of that has to do with food at all. And, like, food is just another part of that. Like, let's go to the slaughterhouse, you know? So it's so annoying to me when it's like, well, you're not, you know, you're not skinny, so how can you be vegan? I'm like, this is just one tiny aspect. Like, what I choose to eat is, like, one tiny aspect of my morals and my ethics and, like, this movement. So, like, that annoys the shit out of me. But,
Yep.
What were the questions you had for us, Miranda? I feel like there were some warm fuzzies that we had.
Well, I know, I feel like it was so negative, like, the first the first half.
Season finale. I don't know. Well, I guess we didn't talk about this. Like, what's everyone been up to? But I feel like Joelle was just on two episodes this season, so she's let us know what she's kind of up to and how she's been doing since she left the podcast. Eden, I guess you haven't been on since you left.
Yeah. I'm doing dandy. I've just been here in quarantine, y'all, in the great state of Texas. But yeah, just the same old things that I usually do. YouTube, my own personal podcast is also on a hiatus, so that's just kind of a testament to just the overall kind of, like, burnout in general. Like, some things just have to go, and my personal podcast will probably come back at some point, but for now it's like it'll just sit there. And I remember Joelle saying before we started that I think on our first or second episode, I was like, it'll be really exciting to see where this podcast goes, because I was reading some kind of article and they were saying most podcasts don't make it past 13 episodes. And I really celebrated when we hit the 13 episode mark, because we'd, like, officially made it. We're like, yes, we beat it. Like, we are going to be here. But yeah, I'm doing good, learning to play the piano, working on my overall wellness, hopefully starting my 300-hour yoga teacher training soon. And yeah, that's all. Just trying to stay at home and stay safe, which I hope all of you guys are too.
Yes. And your birthday was yesterday as of this recording. Happy late birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
30
30 club is where it's at, y'all.
I'm almost there, you guys. My birthday's in January. I'm going to be 30.
I know. Our little baby, Joey. Such a sweet baby.
It's wild that I'm the young one because I feel like lately I've been surrounded by so many people. Like this person that I was talking to, I was like, when did you graduate high school? High school. Okay, I said that right. 2015. And I'm like, I was graduated college for years before you even graduated high school. And I'm like, it's just one of those moments where I'm actually realizing why all these old people all these years are like, oh, you're so young. So I'm like, it does feel weird. We're not the cool ones anymore. We're not the mainstream trends. We're like kind of the old ones where like people are looking up. Like, I can't give an example because I can't think of one, but like I'll mention some musician or something and they're like, who? Or like even everyone is like, Catherine O'Hara was in Home Alone. And I'm like, you guys only know her from Schitt's Creek. Like she's been like a super famous like A-list celebrity for like my entire life. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? No, like what?
Yeah. Kyle, my partner, is 7 years younger than me, 7 and a half. And like you said, 95, that's when he's born. And I'm like, 95? I was getting free personal pizzas from Pizza Hut for the Book It Club in 95. Like,
oh my gosh, I missed that.
Why were you born in 95? And why am I with you? No, just kidding. But yeah.
Oh my God, it's weird.
Man.
But yeah, Book It, for real.
They should revamp Book It Club for like 30-somethings because we've been through a lot.
I'll join in a month.
Every time we read a book.
I actually ordered the Beyond pizza from Pizza Hut to try it, and they asked me for a little review later, and I was like, it was a good delivery or pickup experience, like I'll fill it out. And it was like, are you familiar with the Book It Club? And I was like, yes. And they're like, how do you know? And it was like, one answer was, I was a Book It alumni, and I got to check that one. And I was like, yes. And I was kind of hoping they'd be like, do you want a Book It certificate or something? But that didn't happen.
Not to change the subject and point the attention towards me, but I guess I'm kind of good at that.
Go ahead.
Okay, the only thing I could think of that I've been up to since I last talked to you, and you made me think of this because you were talking about Pizza Hut, I'm gluten-free now.
Whoa.
Which, you know, I got sad when you're talking about Pizza Hut because that's my favorite pizza.
Aww.
But, I mean, I'll cheat every once in a while. I'm not as hardcore as being vegan, but, like, I stopped eating gluten and my migraines have literally gone away. And I always thought that was, like, fake. I was always, like white ladies at the supermarket who are like, is it gluten-free? I, like, always had this, like, hatred towards them. Maybe we talked about this. Did I? I don't know. I don't remember.
Think
but
so.
Basically, with I'm gluten-free now.
Good for you.
Yeah, so that's a change.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as I thought.
I remember you. I've heard that. And I remember you on your Instagram stories talking about how you were starting to adopt that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was doing good things for your body.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So,
yeah,
that's cool.
Really cool.
I'm trying to think, what have I been up to since last week? No, I'm just kidding.
I think it'd be fun if we all went around and talked about, like, some of our favorite moments, like, maybe some of our favorite episodes, or even, like, yeah, like you said, Miranda, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, like, you know, a recap. We're like that episode when you're watching America's Next Top Model and like like 2 episodes before the finale, they do a recap. But then when you're binge watching in 2020 on Hulu, like you skip that episode because you literally just watched everything like yesterday. So you don't need the recap.
That's a good idea. And let me look at your list because I know I have some favorites, but I might need to jog my memory.
I literally can barely remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So I'm like, what did we even talk about all of these times?
Okay, let me look at these episodes quick and just give you a little rundown. I'll go to the very beginning if you want, Eden. Resolutions and covering my vegan tattoo.
Which I did.
Which you did. What did you cover it with?
Succulents.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, I was re-listening to this episode, and Eden and I were talking about the staircase.
Oh, yeah.
And I was cracking up because we were talking about the staircase and I was like, oh my God, Eden, do you think he did it? And Eden was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I think he's innocent. Maybe because the Jewish lawyer is so hot, he like got me to believe he's innocent. And then Eden just goes, Joelle. But I was re-listening. It was cracking me up. I was just like, this is such a funny dynamic right now. So that is a good moment. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
this isn't my favorite episode. And leave it to me to bring the drama. But I had talked to Joelle about this in voice messages. And I was like, I re-listened to our opinions on ex-vegans. And as someone who is not vegan anymore, it was super weird to listen to that. Because it was almost like I was talking to myself, but like from the past. And it was incredibly weird. And I was actually very proud about how kind I was.
Yeah, you were. You told me that. And then I went back and listened. I went on like a binge and was listening to a bunch of episodes. And you were. We both were. I don't know. I was kind of surprised.
I like that episode too, because I remember feeling a lot of animosity towards one or two particular ex-vegans, and then just kind of hearing, you know, some of the neutral standpoints, as well as like some of those like emotional investments you have with people. And like, I don't know if it's their brand or their personality, but it's that whole like celebrity status people get hung the fuck up on, like vegan being the whole reason that this person exists at all. And I just think that it's good to break that down and be like, people are just human. And personally, I always love when Brian Turner cranks out a video and talks about like, hey, I have a lot of friends who are ex-vegans, and like, they gotta do them, you know, like it has nothing to do with me, and I have opinions, but I don't hate people because they're not vegan anymore. And
yeah,
I tried to show that empathy, you know, toward you when we had that episode where you revealed, and I think you revealed it to me right before we recorded together, actually. So I was just like, whoa.
I did.
And it was fine, because I was just like, yeah, I have friends and family, and my partner's not even vegan, so I'm not gonna, you know? It's just like, don't get too invested in that, is how I feel about it. Like, people are still people.
I just feel like in the grand scheme of things, like, it's okay to have your feelings when stuff like that happens, when somebody's, like, not vegan anymore. But, like, there are other more important things to be putting your energy into. Like, okay, you can be sad about that for a second or whatever, but, like, go out there and, like, go sign petitions, like, to get the monkeys in the labs at NIH, like, released, because they've been there for 20 years. Like, you know, like, okay, there's other things to do instead of, like, going on and, like, making a bunch of videos and, like, trolling a bunch of comments. Like, there literally is so much better things to do with your time. Then like freak out when something like that happens, you know? So
yeah,
one of my favorite episodes was the, and I'm looking at the list, so they're next to each other and they kind of relate to each other, the Shrill episode. I enjoy Adi Bryant a whole lot, and I enjoyed Shrill and how it was pushing some things, and that you guys talked about it. And then also the episode of being a curvy vegan in entertainment with Morgan.
That's what I was gonna say. I think my favorite episode was the one with Morgan.
I love that.
And like, episode. That was the only podcast ever that I've ever recorded with another human being sitting next to me, because Morgan drove down from Orange County and came to me in San Diego, and we recorded, and then we had Eden on Skype. And like, because I actually don't, like, I feel like dedicated vegan chub clubites, I don't know what you want to be called, I feel like they like know that me and Eden would record remotely, but like, even some people were like, to this day, are like, oh, you guys never, like, you guys weren't in the same room. Like, I think people thought that we were like always together, but we've never recorded a podcast in person.
Yeah.
So
I think it's just because we made a point to buy the same mic.
Yeah.
So our microphones sound exactly the same. So it yeah. sounds like we're in a studio together. Oh, so I don't even know if this podcast ever aired. I think it might have been the one that I lost the sound for. It was the one where Joelle and I talked about our experiences being women who date men in the LGBT community, and like how our sexuality is kind of always questioned being like bi. I don't think I even consider myself bi anymore. I feel like I'm more like a pan type of person. But like, ultimately how it doesn't, we feel like sometimes it doesn't matter because we are very straight in like very heterosexual seeming relationships. And then also on the other hand, it kind of seems like we're taking space from the people who are in like same sex or varying sex relationships because we're in very average, normal. Yeah. I hate that.
We're straight passing.
Heteronormative.
You guys know what I'm trying to say. Relationships. And I don't know if I ever posted that podcast. I feel like that was the one podcast where we lost footage or something.
It got deleted. I think you were like, no.
Yeah, it got deleted. Yeah, something happened where I deleted one of our sides of audio. So it never actually happened. And it was super emotional because Joey talked about like some of her experiences like in high school with her car being vandalized, and I think we glossed over it in a future episode, but we didn't like go as deep as we had. But I really wish that everyone would have got to listen to that episode.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up because I've been thinking about that a lot more lately too, because like obviously as somebody who's been in a like heteronormative passing, like I've been with a guy for almost 8 years. In January it's gonna be 8 years. I not only pass as straight, but I have all the privileges of a straight person. Like, I don't have to come out every time I introduce my partner to somebody, you know, and worry about that, like, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know, I don't have to worry about, like, holding his hand, like, going down the street and all these things that I have in the past in other relationships. But, like, it's hard when it's, like, yeah, like, I don't want to take up space from other people, but I also think, like, my story is important as well. Like, the thing with my car, like, when I got, it, my car got vandalized, they wrote, like, that I was a fat F-A-G, and, like, I'm a dyke, and, like, suck my you-know-what, blah, blah, blah. And, like, it's hard because I've been thinking about more and more lately, like, how, and I think this is what we talked about in that podcast, and it got deleted, like, how appropriate is it for me as someone who's like bi or queer, I kind of change what I consider myself as all the time because I'm like, whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, like, I don't fucking know what I am. But like, how appropriate is it for me to reclaim that word of hate, like the word dyke, because that's been used against lesbians and it's been used against me literally my entire life. Like, that situation with my car was just like one thing, but like my entire life that word has been like thrown at me. So when I reuse, when I reclaim it, it feels like powerful, but I also don't want to be like, I understand how it looks being like a white straight passing girl in a like relationship with a man, like saying that, you know. So it's a very kind of complicated thing for me, but yeah, it's yeah, interesting.
Well, and to riff on that, speaking of A.D. Bryant, I've been watching a lot of SNL lately in quarantine and getting really into it again. And so I've seen a lot of episodes with A.D. and Kate McKinnon. And I just found out Kate McKinnon is gay, and that's amazing. And there's a moment where Kate was being interviewed, and she talks behind the scenes about she and A.D. were writing for a sketch. And Kate was like, whew, Dykes is tired. And A.D. was like, Fats is tired too. And so then they created a sketch called Dykes and Fats, where they're two women cops, and they just like riff on that. And I was just like, that's a good way to reclaim that word. Like, that's like what you're talking about, with just empowering yourself with those labels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Like, I was called a fat dyke, and I am. Like, ding, ding, ding. You're correct.
Like, so what?
You are correct, bro.
I'm literally shocked every single day when I see my boyfriend. I'm like, it's so weird that you're here, dude. Like, for my entire life, I was 1,000% sure I was marrying a woman. Like, I don't know how you slid in here and, like, shook everything up, but it's wild every time.
We love who we love.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. And it's funny because I also came out as bisexual earlier this year.
Yay!
Like publicly.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And part of that was hearing and being affirmed by episodes like the We're Here and We're Queer episode, where you touch on some of that. And
you did have one that went out, yeah.
And just like having that in culture is so important for representational purposes, and not just the whole coming out part of it, but just the casual being able to discuss it without that fear of repercussion or judgment. But along the lines of what you're saying, Eden, about like, wow, there's a man in my life, and yeah, that's crazy. I have a certain type when it comes to men, and I have a certain type when it comes to women, and I just feel so, I feel like my partner just so, is so well-rounded for me, because he's very masculine looking, and he's very, like, femininely in touch with himself, and I think that's why I'm just so drawn to him in particular, and why it's not just about gender for me, it's about the whole package.
Yeah,
definitely. I just wanted to say
that's
that.
Why I don't like any labels at all, honestly. I'm just, you know, a lover. But I'm like, I guess pan, if people want it to categorize it, I'm like, I don't care if you're man, woman, trans, non-binary, whatever. You just love who you love.
Yeah. Hey, so. I got my rainbow necklace on.
Oh!
Yay!
We're here, and we're queer, and Joey's wearing Vegan Chub Club merch.
Yeah, you know it.
I actually really love that shirt.
Me too. Maybe I cut it.
Yeah, it I love looks that. So good. And it's thanks. Held up, actually, really well, it seems.
I know. I've had this for a while now.
Yeah, like 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about what's to come for the Vegan Chub Club and what people can expect, you know, going forward.
Yes. Well... we all clearly talked with each other. This isn't just like a, oh, let's have a recorded phone call and just decide to end the podcast. Obviously, we've been talking about this for a little while. and I had, you know, the same thoughts as Eden, like, maybe we should have someone take over. And I actually had a really awesome person who was game for trying it out. And shout out to Nicole. You're such a really awesome Chub Club member, and she was on an earlier episode, and go take a listen to that. And but the thing that ended up happening was, you know, once we kind of actually sat down and really thought about the logistics of it all, there was a training period from, you know, me coming in with Eden. It was pretty quick, but it, you know, it's still, there's a learning curve to it for many episodes and weeks and months later. And I just love what you're saying. So in terms of the podcast, I love what you're saying that we're going to leave space. So I think that is for the podcast part of it. We're going to just leave it where it is, leave it here, say it all here, lay it all out, and leave space for whoever comes next.
Yeah, I was contemplating, because I still have like not a huge but a decent sized vegan audience on YouTube. I was going to do like a just an open call, like, hey, if you're vegan, you're plus size, or an ally and you want to take over the podcast, reach out to me. But just thinking about that, and then you know, either me or Miranda having to do the training, it's just like we've done so much good. And just like after reminiscing about all of the episodes, we've covered so much, and sure, there's always more to be said, but I feel like we covered like every area that you could possibly cover when it comes to being a plus size vegan. And I'm super happy with everything that's out there, and it's there and available for people to listen to forever. And the Instagram won't be going anywhere. The Instagram will still be there. For now, I will be running it. And eventually, maybe I'll pass it off to someone else, but I think that it's manageable enough to like repost people within the community and repost memes and things that I like onto the stories, etc., recognizing special days that resonate with our community and such, for now. But the Instagram will still be there, still be living for anyone that happens upon it or may need it in the future.
Yeah, I like that. And I also think that, I guess to clarify what it means to make space for the next person, is obviously probably not within this platform or community, but if anyone gets inspired who is a member now and wants to do a spinoff of their own version of it, you know, obviously the name is kind of taken, and I believe it might be, is it trademarked, or it's, you've got a business brand for it, Eden, I think. So you can't use the name again.
Mm-hmm. I have a DBA for it, but...
But you can definitely, yes, like, take this motivation and carry it onto your own platform or a new platform, and and we would definitely lift you up on social media if we see that take off and happen for someone that was inspired by this. Let us know, and we'll gladly promote
you. Absolutely.
And also, the second thing I want to say is... nobody throw any shade towards Eden about not being vegan and running a vegan platform, please. Just because so many people also hire social media managers who may or may not be vegan for vegan platforms. So there's no room for talking shit about that. Just to throw that out there.
Obviously, I'm not vegan, and but I care. I do care, even though I'm not vegan anymore. I do care about this community greatly, and I want there still to be content coming for the foreseeable future. And like I said, at some point, we may find someone within our community that wants to take it on just as a social media account, and that's totally fine. But Joelle and I did create this podcast, and we own it. So I do feel... I will never, ever let anyone have control of the podcast without me.
Do you have, like, a Taurus moon or something? I know you're a Sagittarius.
No. Okay. Sagittarius, Libra moon, Virgo rising. Yikes, I know.
Okay.
Oh, that Virgo rising. That's it.
Yeah. So
you're a Virgo, right, Miranda?
No, I'm Libra. And then Cancer rising and Pisces moon. So I'm an emotional girl.
Yeah, emotional squirrel. even when Miranda was running the podcast, I still had my little fingers in everything, passwords, everything, because I don't want anyone going rogue.
I wanted to say that, too.
I don't want anyone going rogue with this thing that we created and that means a lot to me. So that is why.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, I feel like security reasons, like, this just popped into my head. Like, how many conversations we've had with that account with, like, other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to be somebody
in the circle. And that was all part of it. Like, confidentiality, you know. So that's why I am going back to running it, is because I haven't had time to research anyone. I don't know anyone well enough to pass on all of that to. So... Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that with an account I used to have, and I kind of regret it. I had this account called Vegan at Universal, and I wasn't going to Universal Studios anymore because I, like, left LA, and I gave it to this girl, and, like, I don't care. I didn't really care what happened to it, but I regretted it because, like, she didn't really post that much, so I'm like, damn, like, I don't know. I feel like somebody else might have... Sorry if you're listening to this. Ooh, that's kind of awkward, but I don't know. So I respect that.
But it can be tricky. It can be super tricky. And I meant to say that, if I haven't ever said it before, that Eden and Joelle have always had a say in things. Like, I've reached out to either of you or both of you to be like, what do you think about this for this kind of an announcement? What do you think about this? Like, Eden, who do you know? And Eden has given me names for people to interview. And Joelle has been graciously stepping in to jump on some episodes and fill some slots and then talk about some really awesome points that don't get talked about as much anymore on the podcast. So,
like, when we talked for like 4 hours.
I know, right?
Team effort here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, I felt so terrible when Miranda reached out to me and was like, hey, I think I might need to step away. Like, I was just like, are you okay? Like, I'm so sorry if this was, like, too much to toss on you. Like, how can I help? Let me know. Because we don't ever want any of us to feel overwhelmed. And I just, like, reiterated with her, like, this is hard. This is a lot. And this is the same reason Joelle and I had to take breaks. So,
yeah. You were so sweet about it, though. I was, like, having a really rough day. I was, like, crying about something else, and then I realized, like, I need to take care of myself, and then I think I thought about everything I needed to do, and that's when I was like, it's time right now to reach out. when I'm like kind of at rock bottom, like full disclosure, I was just like, I wasn't crying because of the podcast by any means, but I was overwhelmed. And then I was like, oh, I still have to do all this. And then I was like, and I think I just need to have space for myself where I can like heal when I need to and not feel a lot of deadlines coming up and things like that. But yeah, you guys were so sweet and supportive, like in helping me get into it, and you didn't have to do that, and you did. And then again, when I reached out to say like, I'm just overwhelmed.
I just want to say, I think all this credit should go to Eden, because I feel like I didn't do anything. I'm just want to interrupt you.
No, I think you were paying. No, I think you were paying attention to Gertie when I was saying that you so graciously stepped in though with your time to like be on an episode or two or three at this point. And like, you've always been there to like message though, you know, so it's all good. Yeah. You guys are just, you're a really awesome team. And I just want to thank you for letting me get into the podcast world, because I've always wanted to, and I always wanted to be on a podcast with you two. And look, it's finally happening.
I know. Eden, do you remember when little baby Miranda emailed us?
And then we finally actually got to meet her. And I always feel like it's so weird the way things happen. Like when I was talking about the ex-vegan podcast and like the fact that the last time that we went to Eat Drink Vegan, it was my last year being vegan, and it was the last Eat Drink Vegan ever. Mm-hmm. It's just like so crazy, weird, full circle.
But and their cups, because I still have like the glasses. Their glasses.
I have
said,
so many of
me
those.
Too.
But the
little shot glasses.
The one from 2019 says "Can't stop, won't stop."
Oh man.
I shouldn't be laughing, because that's like a big hit to like so many businesses who like relied on like making money from that. So I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just kind of ironic.
I know. So wild. And I'm so glad that we, all three of us, got to hang out in my workshop, and then that we got to meet in San Diego and go to Plant Power, which I would die if I ate now. I wouldn't die, but I would spike a fever. I would spike a fever and be in bed for 3 days. So, yeah, so wild. Yeah. Like, that was such a fun day and such a fun morning. And it was so cool getting to hang out with both of you guys.
And I might have said this in another episode, but that's the only reason I'm here, is because I emailed you guys in the first place. And I listened to you guys. And if anybody is just, you know, if you're nervous to reach out to people you look up to or people you want to work with or collaborate with, like, don't hesitate. Just do it. The worst that can happen is they're like, oh, it's not the right time, or it's not a good fit, and like, that's it. Or they won't reply. And like, you just never know what can happen if you put yourself out there. And I feel like I've learned so much. You guys have really helped me like figure out that like podcasting is something I really do enjoy when I can make the time for it. So I think it will be on my horizon like in another year or two.
Yeah, maybe we'll have an Uprooted Foodie podcast coming at ya.
Yes.
And we'll promote it on the Vegan Chub Club.
It's possible.
And I just want to say that when Miranda emailed us, we did kind of like push her off for a good while. We kept saying like, we're busy, like, maybe at Eat Drink Vegan, because we knew she would be there. But, like, we were starting to burn out then.
Yeah.
And that was a long time ago. And, like, what you were seeing on the opposite end, Miranda, and just for anyone out there that's, like, emailing their faves, like, I don't know how Miranda felt, but it might have seemed like we were pushing her off. And it was just, we were so incredibly busy trying to like get episodes out, that like we were already at a point where we were like on the downswing of the like roller coaster.
Yeah, and Eden, I didn't even remember this until the other day when I was listening. There were sometimes me and you didn't even record together. There were times that we would wake up. Literally, I would wake up at 4 because I would try to do it before work, and we'd record with each other. And then there were other times that me and you recorded separately and brought the episodes together. Like, we were struggling. Yeah,
we'd both do a story time that was, like, mm-hmm, similar. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, we're going to do a story time on this. And we'd do an intro and outro, yeah, throw the stories together, and that would be
yeah, it. It was hard to make time. And then with Eat, Drink, Vegan, too, I was working, so I was like, I have no idea if I'm going to be able... I don't even think I saw Miranda. I think I was working the whole time.
No, I didn't see you then. Not that day, at least. Yeah,
I didn't see you until, like, the day we went to Eden's workshop.
Was the next day.
I saw you for like 2 minutes. You were literally working the whole time. I saw you maybe less than 5 minutes. I ran into you and Morgan randomly, and then you were like, gotta go. Like,
Toby McGuire. Just kidding. That happened at a different Eat, Drink, Vegan. That's like tea. I won't say it. Not like it's gonna go viral, but I had it moment.
I feel like, wasn't Kat Von D there? At one of them,
I met her at... Actually, I think it was the same one that I met you at.
Oh, yeah, that was the year before. Mm-hmm. And then they let all of, like, the vegan influencers in early, like, Sweet Potato Soul and Lauren Toyota and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I came, like, literally right after them. I love both of them. I cut the line because she doesn't wait in line.
Who did?
Me. Like, there was this huge line of people waiting to walk in, and Jessica's like, oh, the line's back here. And I was like, not for me. And I just, like, literally walked in. And, I mean, it's kind of like a weird social experiment. When you cut the line, you're always wondering if someone's going to be like, are you cutting? Like, I've been waiting here. But the key is you don't make eye contact, and you look like a pretentious jerk.
Wow.
Pro tips from Eden Jacks.
Yeah, it was so funny. I just, like, walked by, and Jessica's like, I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe you're doing this. I was like, I have to, like, get in there and, like, say hi to, like,
I'm the Jessica of that situation. I would be like, no, I'm not doing this.
I just did it. Like, you know, black people have waited at the back of the line for too long,
say
y'all.
Say it.
This is like the worst situation. The worst situation to use race, but I'm just like,
okay, but to be real, there's a difference between you cutting the line and me cutting the line. You know, I like entitled white people, it's like a whole nother story.
To be completely honest, the reason I cut the line is because I got tickets through PR, so it was fine if I went in with my PR tickets. I think we were supposed to wait in line, but I was just like, oh, I got PR tickets. And not to be that person, but when you are an influencer, I'm always happy to say hello to everyone and everything, but if I don't go in early, I don't get to, like, eat or drink anything. So I wanted to get in early so that I could grab a bite to eat, drink, sit down for a second before all the crowds came in, because then once that happens, you're talking to people the entire time. So
yeah, just, like, some girl with, like, short shorts comes up to you and is like, hi, oh my god, do you remember emailing with me? My name is Joelle. I'm your biggest fan. Like, those annoying people, you know?
Yeah. Those people.
That feels so long ago.
But my favorite people were, like, people like, oh my gosh, take a bite of my burrito. I know you've been, like, so busy. You haven't been able to be in line. Aww. And now it's, like, COVID, and I'm like, we could literally never share anything. Like, I can't bite off of anyone's food now. People like, here, do you want this water? I've seen someone come up to you every time you go to get in line, which is a great problem to have because I love everybody.
It's so wild because, like, I mean, who knows what the future holds, but, like, I can't ever see myself doing something like that again, like, sharing food with, like, friends, even. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it being... Yeah. I just
I wonder how
happening.
We ever did out. It. Yeah. I was like, we did that?
Yeah, people... Mm-hmm. Blowing out candles on their birthday cake.
Yeah, like, we're straight up putting COVID on your cake.
Just, like, blowing out. I know. So, and I've been talking, like, to my boyfriend. I'm like, I might just wear a mask to stores after this anyway. Like,
ew, yeah. I think I saw something on Twitter. Maybe you, like, liked it or something. You know how things come into your feed because other people like it. I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but it was something like, gonna wear a mask forever because humans are disgusting. Like, yeah. Also, yes. then you won't have to see if I, like, don't do my makeup all the way.
I know. So much less foundation is used.
I don't ever wear makeup. I put foundation on today and lipstick, and some eye makeup, but not even much. It's pretty natural. And I get pissed because I can't wear lipstick out.
I didn't.
Anymore.
I know. That's why I'm wearing lipstick. I saw someone say, like, the fact that I still wear lipstick during COVID shows that I really was doing this for me.
That's true. I mean, I, like, never wear makeup unless I'm, like, going to, like, a meeting at work or something. Or, like, today I was like, I want to, like, feel like I have somewhere to go, kind of. So I wore, like, I broke out my purple lipstick, straightened my hair. My hair's so long. Like, yes. Are you serious?
It is.
Yeah, it's so long.
Andres' hair is also really long. He might be popping through there at any second, but his hair is, like, his hair's so long that it went from, like, fro to now it's just, like, long curls. Like, yeah.
Long.
We haven't had a haircut, either of us, in a very long time.
Me neither. And all my color has kind of faded and grown out, and now I don't know what to do, and I don't really want to go to the salon. I don't want to go to the dentist. They're like, come in, you need your cleaning. And I'm like, I don't want to go where my mouth is exposed and you're digging around in there.
It's scary. No, but thanks. I had some emergency dental stuff.
We went like the same week.
Yeah, I think we both had like issues, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I had like an emergency root canal, and I was so scared because I really, truly, I know everybody's saying this, but like I haven't been going anywhere. Like I really haven't, and I work from home, so like I'm lucky for that. But like, so I was like, I'm gonna go into a dentist, multiple appointments in multiple different dentists, where my mouth is just hanging open, and COVID is just like, oh, this looks nice. But no, I was fine. They're very safe. Good. They're very, like...
They have on, like, full PPE. Like, even, like, suits, masks,
they have, like,
shields,
multiple masks. Yeah.
Good.
Uh-huh. Oh. They're very, very... Because they don't want to get it either with your mouth, like, open. And they're, you know, doing whatever they do.
That's
a
good point.
Get, like, a multitude of fillings. And it was, like, at the beginning of COVID when Joey and I... Because we were both talking about it together. Like, both of us being at the dentist. But, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, and, like, they were making me wash my hands and then use mouthwash, like, from every... I would go to one chair, and they'd be like, okay... Like, if I got up, they'd be like, okay, use your mouthwash again and wash your hands again. Like, they were, like... They were very intense, so...
That's good.
Well, I guess we should tell people, like, what they can expect from our personal social medias, where to find us, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, for me, this is Joelle talking... Also, I think our voices are, like, all kind of similar. But, like, for me, I, as you know, as I talked in, like, the last podcast, like, I've made my Instagram private and stuff. But you can follow me. Like, if I see people who friend request me and I see that they follow the Vegan Chub Club, I accept them. So go ahead and follow me on there. I'm at Joelian. And every once in a while, I get into a phase where I, like, make YouTube videos. So you can follow me on YouTube. I think I'm Joelle Tail. Yeah, I'm Joelle Tail on there. You can follow me on there. Yeah. I don't want you to follow me on Twitter or TikTok because I just like shit posts on there. So
I think your Twitter is like my favorite social media yours. Really? I just love your Twitter. It's like so random or so very classic vegan Joelle. I'm like, thanks. I love this.
Thank you. It's because I'm just like, I really don't care what I say on here. I'll post emo lyrics for like 20 minutes. I'll like post an entire song with different line breaks and stuff because I'm like a 14-year-old girl in my room listening to emo music. Or I just post like mean things, or I post random things about poop. You know, that's who I am, I guess.
Miranda?
Yes. Well, I don't talk about it enough because I still feel like I have a long way to go, but I am also on YouTube, and that's part of what I'm trying to focus on. I have content from 2 years ago that I'm editing and currently finally posting. Hooray! So my main platform is Uprooted Foodie on YouTube, and that is where I have started getting into more of my personality. I talk about Bi Pride and LGBTQ things. I talk about Denver, Colorado, where I live, a little bit of travel, and I also just show kind of day in the life stuff, and of course talk about vegan food and being a plus size vegan on occasion. So that is my main handle, but I also started a travel channel with my partner Kyle. It is called Kyle and Miranda. We have 3 videos out now, and there will be a whole bunch more, but we have a whole bunch of footage from our 2018 move from California to Colorado and all the stops in between, and then a trip from a little COVID getaway this summer where we just camped everywhere and tried to stay away from people and get outside as much as possible. So that's what I'm focusing on. But you can follow me on Instagram at either of those, Kylan Miranda Vlog or Uprooted Foodie. And yeah, I'm going to miss not throwing this podcast in my list of things to check out because it's just such a cool branched off version of everything that I do. But I'm still going to, you know, be a part of this community. So I'm excited to see where it goes. But yeah, that's where you can follow me.
Amazing. I'm still waiting for someone to take my former What a Fat Vegan Eats in a Day crown on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So if either one of you all want to take that on,
nice.
I'd love to see it.
I might have to do that.
I feel like there's just a big old space missing because everyone's super thin that makes What I Eat in a Day videos on YouTube, and it's all like the healthy version of something when I just feel like there's a space for like a delicious, yummy vegan version out there. Like,
so. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I eat garbage more often than not. So maybe, you know, maybe I can be the antithesis of that. But it's true. I mean, What I Eat in a Day, some people say that's a problematic thing that people post, and I'm just like, if we'd stop talking about food altogether, like, what even are restaurants? Like, I don't know. So I mean, yes,
yeah,
there is a lot of triggers for people, but
I've never heard that. Could you explain that? I've never heard it
about people saying like, don't talk about food and things.
Like, why is it problematic? Like, what's the argument?
Well, I just know a few people who've had eating disorders who've said, talking about food triggers me. And so that's hard to navigate for me as a foodie. And of course, I want to respect boundaries. But I think that's a hard one to not tie into culture and things like that. So I don't know. But I've heard people say What I Eat in a Day is problematic because it's showing potential like portion sizes and potential like food types that, you know, if you're an influencer, yeah, like then you're, people have that fucking stereotype about influencers that's like, oh, you're telling my children what to eat, you're telling my friends what exactly to eat. And I'm just like, don't think that's yeah what's happening. It's kind of just like, here's an example of a human being and what I'm doing, and that's how I look at it. That's, I take it at face value. Mm-hmm. I watch mm-hmm Kate Flowers, but I don't eat raw most of the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm not like a super stick thin person like she is, you know, mm-hmm, but I follow her, and I just think you can follow people and not do what they do, you know, but
it's a lot of avoiding personal responsibility. And yeah, I feel like people put too much, which we talked about in the ex-vegan episode, putting too much responsibility on influencers, like you're your own person. But I have heard that as well. Like, it's showing, like you said, portion sizes, also that it's like somehow saying like, this is the correct way to eat to some people, or people mimic your diet and that doesn't work for them necessarily. But I feel like as long as we all enter What I Eat in a Day videos thinking, this is what this person is eating in this one specific day, not what they eat every single day. Mm-hmm. And this is a place that I'm coming to for ideas and inspiration versus thinking, oh, this person is posting what I eat to lose weight, so if I eat that, I'm going to lose weight. No, you won't, because you guys have completely different bodies. Or this is what this person used to cure their acne. It might not cure your acne because you have a different body. As long as we just keep it service level, like, these are meal ideas, inspiration, and this isn't a representation of this person's entire life. It's this day that they curated for you, which is like the key word. It is going to be curated, mm-hmm, because you don't want to see boring shit on the internet. So like, yeah, as long as, and like we say always, personal responsibility. An influencer is not responsible for if you tried their diet and your hair fell out or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like, it's,
there you go.
I hate when people put like all this responsibility, yeah, on influencers for what other people do. And I understand, yeah, you are influential, but it's not your responsibility.
Well, okay, at the risk of sounding like a boomer and sounding very privileged, so I have an eating disorder. I don't really talk about it anymore. That's just personal choice. I don't really talk about it online. But as somebody who understands where that they're coming from, at what point, this is where I really am going to sound like a boomer, but like at what point does it stop? Like at what point, everything, literally everything can trigger someone. Like some people on the Maury show are afraid of oranges. Like, should I not eat an orange in public because someone might, okay, this is obviously, this is kind of like a false equivalency. So like, I don't know, but I think there's a point where it's like, okay. So like, okay, for me, for example, huge part of my job is sharing cruelty footage and like horrible things that happen. Yes, that's triggering even to me, but I think it's important for people to see. But if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Like, if you know that that's a trigger for you to see like an animal's throat getting slit, then like don't watch it. Or like, and I understand that it's not the same exact thing, because like following people's food patterns or like whatever, you know, like looking at influencers and being like, okay, I want to be like them because they look like this or whatever, that's like more ingrained, I guess, and you don't even necessarily realize it might be like triggering you. But at the same time, like you said, Eden, you kind of have to go into it like being healthy. Like when you're watching it, you have to go into it and being like, okay, I know that this is what Eden eats, but like I don't need to eat that or whatever. I don't know. I think that influencers do have a certain level of responsibility, but like the boomer in me is like, at what point do we stop? Because like literally everything is, every single thing is a trigger to, and I'm somebody with a lot of triggers, and I'm doing a lot of work to notice those triggers and be able to avoid them. Or if I do get triggered, like be able to recognize that and see where it's coming from. And I mean, I know not everybody's fortunate enough to like do that kind of stuff, but, I'm kind of triggered right now.
And I'm definitely not saying influencers have no responsibility. Like, don't freaking promote diarrhea tea. Like, don't promote these, like, stupid scams where your young, you know, followers are signing up for these things and, like, their information is, you know, like, all the Jake Pauls of the world and, like, all... Yes, there are personal responsibility, but when it's something as innocent as a what I eat in a day video, like, come on.
Because, like, I'm thinking of, like, a lot of different issues, like, okay, people who buy dogs and post about it, you know what? You do have a responsibility because you are influencing people to do a bad thing that hurts animals. So, like, yeah, I'm going to come for you.
Racist tweets and, like, when people are like, oh, they're young.
Yeah.
And, like, being young doesn't excuse you being racist just because you like this person. Like, so, yes, of course there's responsibility, but, like, we have to manage our expectations for some things on the internet, I think.
It's
and,
true.
Like, also realize, like, you, where you end and another person begins, and, like, be responsible for your being.
Right. Like, we all aren't going to identify with everyone that we watch, and we're not going to try to do exactly what they do. And, well, I'll say this, that I tried at the beginning of season 5 to put content warnings at the beginning, thinking that that would just help eliminate some potential trauma for people, some triggers. And I sit there and I listen to these episodes and I write it down as I'm listening, and I'm just like, you know, I could really go down the wormhole with like a million content
warnings. Yeah, you definitely do already.
But like I only put two to three. And so I can only do so much. And it's just like, if you're listening to a podcast in a vegan and fat positive community, like, we're probably going to talk about veganism and fat phobia, at least.
Roxane Gay talks about that in her book. I don't know if you guys read Bad Feminist. It was out, like, years ago. But she talks about, like, how she's not really a fan of trigger warnings because she's like, triggered by the trigger warning. She's like, who are you to tell me who I'm what I'm triggered by? I don't feel certain strongly against or for them. You know, I don't use them, really, unless there's something really bad.
But you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Everybody's gonna bitch about something, and that's what I've learned from this podcast too, is like, wow, people are gonna bitch if you talk about it, and they're gonna bitch if you don't talk about it. So just talk about what you want.
Definitely. What were we... Oh, I'm Eden. So most of you guys know I'm Eden Loves Life here on Instagram. I'm Eden Loves Life on YouTube. I have a podcast called the Garden of Eden Podcast, and my website is gardenofeden.co. If you want to take my yoga classes or anything like that, I try to keep it updated with my schedule, even though it's COVID, so there are none. But there's other good resources on there if you ever need like personal training or personal yoga lessons or anything like that. There's a contact form there. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And obviously I will still be running the Vegan Chef Club account for the time being, and hopefully you guys will like the stuff that I post.
Yes, I know I will. I will love it, because I feel like you just know that more inside scoop of that community, and I just feel like I didn't get to engage as much as you all did, but I've only been a part of it for like less than a year or so. Yeah, I'm excited.
But you
to
did
see it.
So much within that year, yeah. And I think we can't close out without Joelle and I thanking you so much. Like, we for the first year or so wanted to hear so much from the community, but we just didn't have the time to do it or schedule people. And you just jumped in with very short notice. I really wanted to be on the podcast with you longer, but I just needed to get out the news that I wasn't vegan, so that I could start to heal myself and, you know, feel good again. And I felt like the longer that I prolonged that, the longer I was prolonging my own healing. So I thank you a lot for just jumping in and taking over.
Thank you
and
so
you did
much.
Such amazing job. We loved hearing all of you guys from the community and all of your stories, and like getting to hear from experts, from RDs, and getting to hear from males in the vegan community that have a little bit more to love. And Andy's always been such a huge supporter of us, so a big shout out to him and the Bearded Vegans, because they're so wonderful. He's always been nothing but kind to us and such a supporter of the Vegan Chef Club, so definitely a big shout out to him. And Miranda, just, you knocked it out of the park. I feel like this last season was the perfect way to round out the Vegan Chub Club and like get away from just me and Joey chatting away and like really get so many more perspectives, which was amazing. So we definitely thank you for all of your time and effort, and it was amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Miranda. You did a great job.
Thank you.
And you guys know I'm a crier, so I'm not gonna cry, but I want to.
I'm not a crier because I'm an Aquarius and I suppress my emotions.
My Libra is escaping me, and I'm
but I do want to give a shout out to Morgan, because she was on our podcast once and I was talking to her last night because we were playing Among Us. She has her jewelry shop, Your Modern Day Designs, so you should follow her on Instagram. She has some cute stuff on there, especially if, you know, you want to get last-minute holiday gifts.
Yeah, shop small, y'all.
I have her snowflake clips right here. I will show you.
Let me
Not
see.
In the podcast, but these.
Oh, wow. I love that.
That's so pretty.
So cute.
They're so cute.
I love them.
I'll post a story on the day I drop this of these. They're so cute.
Dude, Morgan's so talented.
They were like $5 each, and they're still perfect for me.
I love
ago.
When she does like furniture revamps, Morgan. Like,
I know.
I love that. But yes, thanks, Morgan, for being on. Thanks, everyone that's come on, that supported us, that's retweeted, that has all of the orgs that have shared us. And it's just been really amazing.
And the artist Chia.
Yes.
That's her name, right?
For
Am I saying her name right?
I don't know.
She made the drawing of us, and that honestly got us so much attention.
Mm-hmm. It really did. So
it's been I am getting emotional. I'm like an Aquarius robot alien,
as
but
we go on,
all the times we spent together.
Recorded together. Yes. I heard that on my Sirius radio the other day, and I like jammed out to that. Yeah. That's the theme song to the end of season 5 and the whole Vegan Chub Club finale.
We can't thank you all enough.
Yeah, and if I will take up some more time for 1 second, just one little thing.
Please.
Okay, I guess, like, my message to people that I want to hear while I have this platform is that do what you can. Do everything you can. Maybe you are vegan. Maybe you're not vegan. But if you care about animals, which I assume is why people are here, you know, try to do what you can. Maybe there's other issues that you care about. Like we talked about Corky when I was on last time, like anti-captivity, SeaWorld stuff. There are like literally billions of dollars wasted on animal experiments where like animals have been locked in labs for like decades and decades on end. Like there's so much work to do, and not even just animal stuff, like other social justice stuff, like Black Lives Matter, immigrant rights, like farm workers, like slaughterhouse workers. There's like so many different things to do, and I think like even kind of going back to like what we were saying at the beginning of this podcast, like there's a lot that we have on our plates. There's a lot of work to be done, and like especially for me, like leaving, I mean, I already left the podcast, but like making space to like do what you can in this world, but also making space to like take care of yourself. Because if you are going so hard and you're giving yourself to like so many different causes or people or jobs or whatever it is, like you like are gonna burn out and you need to like take space for yourself. So I guess if like there's lasting thoughts, like I just want to say, like, keep fighting and remember that, like, you have to rest because that's how you will be able to live longer and, like, keep fighting. So that's what I have to say.
Thanks, Joey.
Yes, that's important. And I think that's, again, the theme of this whole, I guess the theme of why it's ending is because self-care. Like, we're here to realize there's a lot to do in the world and in the community. But it starts with ourselves, and if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help anyone else. And so I think we're all going back to taking care of ourselves. I was going to say, too, that these times with COVID, I think influencers and content creators were excited in the beginning because, oh, wow, the focus could finally be on our work virtually. And then I think we all realized maybe we could potentially get too burned out with that, and that's definitely where I've been at. And it sounds like Eden, you're able to step away from things, and mm-hmm. Joelle, you're feeling that with work too. And yeah, it's a lot to keep up with, and so be gentle on your favorite content creators. And yeah, we love you guys. We're so happy that this place exists and that this community exists, and I can't wait to see, you know, who else can come forward in the community and keep creating wonderful things for it.
See you later, our chubby friends.
Yeah, thanks you guys. Thanks for everything.
I feel like it's important to end at a peak, and I feel like season 5 was definitely like a high point mm-hmm. of lots of good people again for another season, and just kind of the high point that you guys have initially meant for it to go to, I hope.
Yeah.
So like Schitt's Creek ending on such a good season, a high note, like when everything was like finally ramping up.
No and spoilers. Exciting.
I'm not going to spoil it, yeah. But I'm just saying Dan Levy was constantly asked, like, why did you end it there? Like, it could have gone on and on. And he said, because we were ready and it was in a good place. And I feel like mm-hmm. that's exactly how I feel about the Vegan Chub Club.
Yeah.
Because we're ready mm-hmm. to move on and make space for others to create and end it on a good note.
Yeah.
Amen.
Always feel free to DM or email theveganchubclub@gmail.com mm-hmm. if you need support or you would like resources for us to point you towards for other supportive communities. And we'll talk to you all in the Chub Club real soon.
We'll catch you on the flippity flip.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
Bye.
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 Take care.
Remember, you guys are amazing and worthy and beautiful the way you are. Don't let anyone, any movement, make you think that you need to change or that you're not good enough.